Good morning. It is 9:03 a.m. We are here today, January 30th, 2013, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagatnya, Guam, for the continuation of the combined formal hearing of OPA PA 12-16 and 12-18, Teleguam Holdings LLC versus General Services Agency, and OPA PA 12-17, Pacific Data Systems versus General Services Agency. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Attorney Peter Perez and Public Auditor Doris Flores Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Audit Supervisor Rodelyn Marquez and Audit Staff Joy Bulato. Will appellant Teleguam Holdings please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Vince Camacho from Carlson Council, GTA.
The appellant. Oh, sorry.
This is Bill Mann, attorney for PDS.
John Day, president of PDS.
Andrew Serge Kenga, general counsel for GTA.
John Kim, controller from GTA.
Jennifer Scambleri, Sales Director, GTA.
Will Purchasing Agency, General Services Agency, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Robert Kono, a Special Assistant Attorney General for GSA.
I know, but this is combined.
Thank you.
Okay, as a reminder, yesterday we concluded the testimony and the evidence in appeal number 18. Closing arguments will be at the completion of appeal number 17. We took testimony out of order for appeal number 16 and had opening statements given that proceeding. At this time, we'll proceed with appeal number 17. Does PDS wish to make an opening statement?
Yes, please. PDS bases its appeal on three separate grounds. The first ground is a defective major stockholder affidavit submitted by GTA in its bid package. The second ground is GTA's improper conditioning of its bid, which rendered its bid non-responsive. And the third ground is an improper joint bid submission by four separate companies. Now, first, 5 GCA section 5233 requires as a condition of bidding, I emphasize the words condition of bidding, that the bidder disclose all stockholders holding more than a 10% interest in it over the 12 months prior to bid submission. And in its bid submission, GTA disclosed only its current owner, but failed to disclose previous owners during the 12-month period prior to bid submission. Now, the evidence will show that GTA admits this was a mistake, but then persuaded GSA to treat this as a minor informality and allow the substitution of a corrected major shareholder affidavit. The evidence will show that the facts of this case are very close to the facts in the public auditor's decision in the appeal of Pacific Data Systems, OPA PA 10-005, dated January 12, 2011. Well before the bid submission in this case, in 017. I will say my legal comparison of the facts in this case, the facts in this case and the facts to what I'll refer to as the GCC case, because the first case involved GCC, for closing argument. But I must note that both cases involve GTA submitting a defective major shareholder's affidavit with its bid package. GTA did it again. The next ground for appeal is the submission by GTA of a document entitled, quote, Terms and Conditions in its bid package. Now, the evidence will show that the terms and conditions are binding on the government by its acceptance of the service. And then Mr. Day will explain how these terms and conditions are highly inconsistent with the IFB. Finally, the third ground is that on each bid form submitted by GTA, there was not just one bidder, there were four bidders. The four bidders were Teleguam Holdings, LLC, GTA Telecom, LLC, GTA Services, LLC, and Pulse Mobile, LLC. The evidence will show that the four bidders are separate entities. They are separate LLCs. They each have their own business licenses. They each file their own annual reports. They each have their own SPIN number, as Mr. Day will explain. Now, what they do have in common is that the three service companies are owned by the holding company, Teleguam Holdings, LLC. But that does not make them one entity. They remain separate entities. As Mr. Day will testify, there is nothing in the entire procurement file which indicates which of these four bidders is providing the service that was bid. This would be like, for example, a PDS and IT&E submitting a bid where they are both listed as bidders, but not as a joint venture company, just as the two bidders on a bid, with no indication of which company, PDS or IT&E, would actually provide the service. Mr. Day will testify that first, there was a proper way for GTA to do this, but they didn't do it, and finally, that there are consequences to the improper way that GTA did do it. I thank you.
Thank you. GTA, you want to go first?
Okay. Thank you. Here again in 17, the issue before the OPA is ripe for discussion. We agree that all the procurement law requires is that bidders submit an affidavit of ownership, and the issue is whether an incomplete affidavit automatically disqualifies the bidder. Taking a look at the legislative history, which provided Section 5233 of the Procurement Act, nowhere in that history does it say that it's fatal if there is an incomplete affidavit presented. In fact, the procurement law and regulations provide for those types of errors and mistakes, minor ambiguities, and such. Thus, a strict interpretation of the statute contravenes the policy of ensuring that the fair and equitable treatment of all persons participating in the procurement process. Not all requirements are fatal, and in fact, the rules and regulations clearly provide for minor informalities and irregularities if it does not prejudice other bidders. The evidence will show that PDS was not prejudiced in this instance. In this case, the record will show that GTA did in fact, as a condition of bidding, submit an affidavit of ownership. GSA will testify that once they found out about the error, before the award was made, as allowed in the regulations, GSA made a written determination that such error was in fact a minor informality and allowed GTA to provide an updated affidavit of ownership. The correction was made on April 19 prior to the issuance of the bid status. What is without merit is PDS's claim that GTA should be deemed non-responsive because it submitted additional terms and conditions.
what the evidence will show and the OPA has already addressed in the appeal of townhouse department stores, that the providing additional terms and condition was not fatal to a bidder's bid. Because after all, the agency has the option of disregarding them, and the bidder would ultimately be bound by the IFB itself. Additionally, PDS claims that GTA and its wholly owned subsidiaries cannot collectively submit one bid. They have not provided, however, anywhere in the statute, anywhere in the IFB, that precludes this from happening. Thank you.
Thank you. Government?
Thank you. First, I would like to thank all the parties and the hearing officers for the opportunity to have this hearing 17 heard at this particular time. I appreciate your considerations. GSA believes that the actions taken on this particular matter was appropriate, and as pointed out by the statements made by GTA, we believe that the we concur in that action. So we will defer any other statements at this time.
Okay. PDS, would you like to begin your case?
Yes, Mr. Day, if you would take the stand.
I need to hand it out.
Yeah, please do. How much time do you need? We're preparing the exhibit binders, which were left up here last night. I apologize for that. Mr. Day needs just a couple more minutes to correct them so we can hand out an exhibit binder to everybody.
Okay.
Shall we take a 5-minute recess?
Yeah, I just need to get them updated. They changed.
Let's take a 5-minute recess. Go off the record.
We are off the record at 9:15 a.m.